Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichiku today.
Just lift those hands and worship him. Magnify him. Shout your praise from coast to coast. From generation to generation. For your dominion is forever. This heart of mine. This mouth of mine was to cry out, great are you, Lord. Hey! From the rising of the sun to his going down and his setting, your name alone is to be praised. Hey! Hey! We give you glory and we give you praise. Just wave those hands to him. Just wave those hands. We magnify your name, Lord.
We glorify your name, Father. We bless your holy name. And in Jesus' precious and mighty name, we have worshipped. Our hearts are open. Speak to us, wonderful Holy Spirit, by your word. Reveal the heart of the Father and reveal the glory of your Son by your word. Thank you for your most precious holy word. And we thank you for the life, the light, the wisdom, the health, the strength, the fullness of grace, the fullness of your blessing that is communicated to us through your word. Our hearts are open and we receive and take hold of the fullness of the blessing. Of the fullness, nothing missing, nothing left out. As your word goes forth today, men are saved, men are delivered, men are healed, men are strengthened, men are comforted, men are empowered and emboldened. Men are transformed. Tayed no koto shakata, even as your word goes forth. Miracles happen here today. Circumstances that were deemed hopeless turn around in our favor. Men are lifted. Men are promoted. Men are propelled. Men begin to excel by your word. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory today. We give you praise. We acknowledge your presence, Spirit of the living God, and we worship you. And even in this moment, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bring under subjection every other contrary spirit. I bind your works. You are forbidden to distract or to steal any moment from anyone. Get out! Not here. You are not permitted to operate. What God has ordained today will be perfected in the life of everyone under the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands. I hear the Lord. You will carry your answers today. You will walk into your manifestations today. You will shout that shout of victory today. You will sing that song of blessings today. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Somebody give him praise this evening. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Amen. There is someone that has this song. The Lord put it in my spirit as I prayed and meditated on what he wants to do this evening. And whenever that happens, I know that song is for someone. It's a victory dance song to Jehovah.
He never lost a battle from age to age. Find your battle. Now he's a fight, now he's a winner.
Never lost a battle.
From age to age.
I'm so glad.
it's a victory dance to Jehovah. He's never lost what? Age 2. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Panto what?
Kratos.
Means, that's Latin, right? For Almighty Ruler of all.
Yes.
Almighty Ruler of all. Now in the fight, now me the we. Are you ready? By your side, make sure there will be no stranger. Get to know their names and let them get to know your names as we have our seats in God's presence. Praise the Lord. Now listen very carefully to me. One of the major abilities, that God uses to equip believers for victory, to have and live continually a victorious life and a prosperous life. You have to know, for you to have a prosperous life, you must live a victorious life. Because there are things that will want to stand against your progress, against your increase, and against your prosperity. For you to have a prosperous life consistently, you must master the act of victory. First of all, we have an adversary that is a sworn enemy against God and hates everything that God loves. And that's us. An adversary who moves about like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. And the scripture admonishes us, this one resists steadfastly in faith. And by the Spirit, Apostle John wrote, he said, resist the devil, he will flee. But if you don't resist him, he won't flee. If you give him a foot space, he will take the whole house. People who win in life are people who have mastered the act of war. The scripture tells us, it says, put on the full armor of God. It says, for a purpose, that you may be able to withstand that evil day. When hell tries to break loose and the enemy wants to steal, kill, or destroy that which the Lord has spoken over your life, the prophecies that have gone forth over your life, over your family, over anything that concerns you. When the enemy wants to steal the moments and close the doors that God has opened for you, he said, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand, to resist him. And resist his wiles, resist his lies, resist his strategies, his deceptions. Because that's how he fights. You'll never see him carrying a fork. You'll never see him carrying a bazooka or a grenade. No, that's not how he fights. He fights with lies, with deceptions. But the Spirit of the Lord made clearly what that fight is. He made it very clear in the scriptures for the new creation. Because if you don't know what the fight is, you may be fighting the wrong battle. And you may be fighting in the wrong way. What is that fight? Is it a fight with the devil? No. Someone else has done that. His right arm gained him the victory. And he gave us that victory. Someone else has dealt with the devil. The devil is a defeated enemy. Tell your neighbor that. Say, never forget that. Come on, shout it. Say, never forget that. Say, the devil is a defeated enemy. Say, and you have all authority over him. Look at Luke chapter 10 verse 19. So we see what Jesus said to us. He said it to his disciples, and it applies to us who are his sons, who are his disciples too. Luke chapter 10 verse 19. I would like you to read and read out very loud. One to go. Behold, I give you. Did he say, I give you authority or the authority? What's the? A definite article. Meaning it's a specific authority. Meaning the authority I have over the devil, and no devil could stand in. That authority is the name he's given. At his name, every knee bows. At his name, every tongue confesses. At his name, I give you the authority. Somebody shout, the authority. Shout it again. Say, the authority. To what? Trample on serpents and that's devils and demons. That's what he's telling us. And what else did he give us authority? And over all, how many power of the enemy? How many power of the enemy? I want to ask the question. For us who are in Christ, does the devil have power over us, or do we have power over him? Does his demons have power over us, or do we have power over them? Does his lies and deceptions, guilt, shame, accusations, does he have power over us, or do we have power over them? So if a Christian wake up and begin to cry that a witch has power over you, what's that? My people perish. My people perish because they lack knowledge. They are ignorant. Because that believer doesn't know that. And in case that believer has heard this preached, I have not given you the spirit of fear. It's either ignorance or fear. Either of them. And what are you afraid of?
Behold, I give you the power, the authority
to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, including infirmities, sicknesses that he uses. Including possessing and influencing people to gang up against us in whatever way. Including sponsoring lies so he can destroy your name and corrupt the goodwill and favors that God has given over your life. Including that, whatever way, whether they like, let them go to the sea and to the waters and make those incantations. If they like, let them stand in a graveyard. It doesn't matter. If they like, let them kill an elephant. Our authority comes from a sacrifice. That's what we are going to be celebrating today. That sacrifice is the greatest. God sacrificed himself. The Creator sacrificed himself. There is no greater sacrifice. No other greater sacrifice. So in case you think you're going to a shrine where I get my own authority and power, you know, you never see them before. There is an altar that speaks. And when I invoke that authority in the name of Jesus, nothing else. And this name was given him.
above every other thing. God has highly exalted him. That at the name, that name is authority. At the name, name means authority. At the authority of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He is head over all things. Head over all principality, all power, all dominion, all might, all title and name given, not just in this age, in the age to come. If they like, let them wake up in the midnight and be releasing arrows and be really, it doesn't mean nothing. I give you. The one that touches you is the one you permitted. Why did you permit it? I want you to read this scripture one more time. Never again should you blame the devil. Blame someone you have authority. The Bible says, in my name. It didn't say you will negotiate. You will cast him out. Did you hear how Jesus cast him out? Come out! Or go out! That's it, whatever it is. Why are you blaming spirits that you have authority? They know you have. God knows. The only thing remaining in this question is, do you know? They know. God knows. When the devil is trying to attack a Christian, he's always careful. He's always careful because he knows. If this one wakes up, he's in trouble. The question is, are you sleeping? Are you in fear? Do you know? Pastor David knows. And I'm not afraid to use my power. I'm not afraid. I have the will to use my authority. No devil and none of his nonsense plays around me or my house. So when you read this, read it with all boldness one more time. One, two, go. And what? I want to ask. Nothing. Does sickness follow? Does lies sponsored against you follow? Does gang up follow? I'm asking. Does any form of oppression from the devil follow? What of witchcraft? You now have to make a decision. It's either Jesus is a liar and he's not. He wasn't making a promise. He said, I give you. I give you. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, well, let me tell you what it means, signs. He said, this is how you know those who believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, listen to what he says. And nothing shall by any means. Not that you were defending one now escaped the shield and touched you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. What a consolation. What a consolation. One fought that battle and won. He fought
that battle. Let me say something. And I want everybody to hear me and hear me well. If someone, for any reason, created by God, allows the devil to fill their heart, or fill his or her heart, and begins to work for your destruction, to attack and to do the will of hell, the will of Satan. I want you to listen. The length that kind of thing is permitted is the length God was giving that person to repent. Because he doesn't want anyone to perish. While he's defending you, the length that thing is permitted to happen is the length God is giving that person to repent. When that time expires, somebody has to be buried. Don't ever fear. No man can do nothing against you. And to fear is to say that Jesus lied. That something can by some means harm you. Hear me. Nothing shall by any means harm you. Lift your hands and declare that with authority. Declare it by with authority. Declare it with authority. Nothing shall by any means harm me. And when you wake up, speak that over your children. Speak that over your spouse. Speak that over your family. Speak that over your cell family, your directorate, your fellowship, whatever it is God has placed you over, your church group. Declare that in the name of Jesus. The word of God does not return to him void. Let me say this again. The devil is a disarmed and a defeated foe. You have to understand that. Jesus triumphs over him and all his cohorts. And he didn't do it in the hidden. He made a public spectacle. In that triumphant procession, made this public spectacle of the enemy. So if you want to put it in another way, go to Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Because I want to show you what the battle is about. There are scriptures I don't just read. I worship with them. Lift your hands. Let's read it, giving thanks. Want to go? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Do you know the first thing you partook of? The first thing, we are now partakers of the divine nature. The life I have is the very life of Christ. I've been brought into the God class. As he is, so am I. I'm a God. I'm not a mere man. I didn't say I'm God Almighty. I say I'm a God. They didn't say in the scriptures, even under the law, they are gods. To whom the law, the word came to, they are gods. For those who are under the law, just by receiving the word, what about those who have received the life? We are partakers. You know what the word partaker means? In that Greek, it means shareholders, sharers. Another word, participators. We are participating in the divine. we are not of this world. Though. I'm not of this world. I'm a spiritual man manifesting the life of Christ, dominating the natural. Yes. Giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet, qualified us, justified us. We didn't earn it, He did it. He qualified us. You may think I'm not qualified, but He looked upon my faith and said, you're qualified. He qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. So there is an inheritance. And the major one is the life. Then you have the Holy Spirit. We are partakers and participators in the Holy Spirit. Today, the very Spirit of God dwells in us. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives and dwells in me. God tabernacles in me. I am the ark that carries that glory. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Another inheritance is power. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So He's not just talking about authority, exousia in the Greek. He's also talking about dunamis. It means might. There is a difference between exousia and dunamis. Exousia is the authorization. Dunamis is the firepower. So, how do I explain it? A policeman wears his rank, or a military man wears his rank. When you see that rank and his badge, that's the authorization. He may not be with any ammunition, but when he speaks, somebody has to obey that rank. But in case something is entering your head and you don't obey exousia, there is dunamis. And the dunamis is not just the firepower he's carrying has gone. He also has the whole military force or the whole police force. In case you think you can disarm his one gun, there is a legion behind him that comes after you if you touch him. There is firepower. They have grenade. They have atomic bomb. But the power of Christ is greater than any atomic bomb, any nuclear bomb. That's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. You better shout it, because hallelujah. He has made us partakers. Somebody say, I'm a partaker of that glorious inheritance of the saints in the light. Did you notice that inheritance is in the light? That's why nobody enjoys it except in the light. In ignorance, what you don't know is yours, you can't enjoy. You can't even use it. You can't engage it. And that's why the devil wants you not praying. He wants you on social media. On TikTok. On Twitter. Discussing nonsense. That's why he doesn't want you in the Bible. He wants you gisting. That's why he doesn't want you attending church services. He wants you to be roaming about, doing everything. Anything that can keep you away from gaining light. How do you gain light? The entrance of his word gives what? Light. And grants understanding. The real warfare is to keep you away from the knowledge of God's word. That's the real warfare. That's the real warfare. But when you're in light, you will see your inheritance.
You know this is who God says you are. You know this is what God says you have. You know this is what God says you can do. And when you know it, you can start manifesting it. You want to know one more? There are so many privileges in this inheritance. One of them is called wisdom from on high. Divine wisdom. He said, my ways are not the ways of men. He said, as the heaven is apart from the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways apart from men's thoughts. There is intellectualism and there is the revelation of the divine. They are not the same. There is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. And there are men who operate by it. I can go on and on. One of them is called peace. He said, my peace I give to you. Privileges. In that inheritance, full package. One of them is called the blessing. You know what the blessing is? The power to prosper. Whatsoever you do, prospers. So it's not about the business. It's about the person who does it. Take him from there. Put him somewhere else. That thing starts prospering. And in case you think it was your business, when you take the person from there, that business stops. Somebody was telling me, he said, Pastor, I noticed something. When we were using different venues, as we started, he said, every time lamb came to that place, light came. For example, if you know this property and you've been in Oka around and you knew this property before we came, you know that the light has come. Everywhere we come, light comes. There was one property when the first pastor I sent to go and plant a satellite church in Ifite. He came, that property was like a haunted house. Very haunted. And by the time he came back and gave me the report, he told me, he said, Pastor, even some people who tried to do one or two churches, I don't know if that particular church was a church. I don't know. And I don't judge. Only God knows. But they tried to do one or two things and it didn't work. The man who was building it had left it and ran. He was outside the country. Couldn't do nothing anymore. It was abandoned. Nothing could move. When they came, there are people who had seen that different people, when they come, they park. They come, they park. They come, they park. They said, please, people should not go there. I said, that's where I like. Bring me there. Under the old covenant, when you touch death, they say, you're what? Unclean. You touch leper, they say, you're what? You touch somebody, a woman in her, they say, you're what? Unclean. In him was life. Under the new covenant, in Christ, he touched leper. The leper became clean. When life touches death, death comes up. What we carry, nothing corrupts it. What we carry defies corruption. It defies corruption. Nothing corrupts it. It's called incorruptible life. Having been born again, not by corruptible seed, but by what? The life in me is incorruptible. Oh, you know it. The life in me is incorruptible. The life of Christ in me is incorruptible. And I'm a life-giving spirit. So I transfer life. So giving thanks. You see, these are our privileges. Those of you who may be new in our church, when I say this, people confess it, not because I'm saying about me. I'm telling you who you are. So you open your own mouth and confess it. Because that's how you possess spiritual things. By believing it and confessing it. That's how you possess it. I told the pastor, I said, you don't need me. I spoke the word and said, you know what to do, go there. By the time we came there, life entered. You won't believe. Life. Life. They were selling a property to us, and I told the man in the kindred, they said, you better begin to pray that this deal works. So because if I step into the property and into your community, I said everything that has been kept bound, and I don't care for ages and for what generation, and I don't care who did or who didn't, you don't even need to pray. If I step in, everything starts working. I say your children will start rising. Things will start flying. That's who you and I are. It's not a special thing for some special men. It's the same inheritance for everybody in Christ. If you're in Christ, that's your right. You want to know one of them?
Divine health.
No. You're not the person that is sick. That we are not praying for to get healed. That only happens when you don't know this. No. You're the one who can never be sick. But the devil is trying to place symptoms on your body. So if you don't know who you are, the symptoms will now stay. And that's how they'll now be saying from one sickness to another. I refuse to be sick. I can never be sick. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's start from verse 1. Please pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. Who has believed our report? You go to hospital, they give you a report. You go on Google, Google gives you a report. AI gives you a report. But God has his own report. Who has believed? Which one? Be careful. Decide today whose voice you will believe. Because whoever you believe will determine the rest of your life. And will determine your experience in life. Who has believed our report? And then he asked the question. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Meaning, the arm of the Lord is the might of God, the power of God. Has the power of God been revealed to you? And the victory thereof, has it been revealed to you? Because it's his arm that gives him the victory. Look at verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, Jesus Christ. That's a prophetic talking about Jesus. And as a root out of dry ground. He said he has no form of comeliness. These are prophetic writings. So they don't follow the pattern of chronology. The prophet can in one sentence talk about this year. And in this next sentence talk about 1,000 years. Now he's now talking about his growth. He will come forth as a tender plant. He will be born as a baby. He won't come as a warrior. He will come as a baby that even needs to be protected. That the foster father and the mother we have to use, carry him and be running from Herod, the creator, running from the created. He won't come as powerful. He will come as man. But then he will go to the cross
He said he has no form or comeliness. He's telling you that the suffering and the torture and the torment he was going to go through. As he hung on that, the torture, he didn't have any form. They beat Jesus beyond recognition. Go and study. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we will desire him. That's the state of the suffering, the torment he went through. It started from that garden when he began to sweat blood. The only thing you will just know that thing looks like a man, you won't tell. The torture, his flesh was hanging out of his body. You have to understand the kind of punishment, the wrath of God against all mankind for the sin of mankind, past, present, and future. All of them came together and he poured it on Jesus and judged him for all of our sins. That's the kind of punishment he went through. But for what reason?
Verse 3.
Everybody, please listen and read with me and read out loud. One to go. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. At that moment, even people he fed turned their backs on him. People he healed turned their backs on him. People that even believed in him scattered and ran for fear for their lives. Peter, his greatest supporter, that even brought a sword to fight so he won't be arrested, denied him. He came to his own, and his own rejected him. But why? Why all this? When today we bless this table, and we say, this is the body, because that's what he instituted and ordained, and said, do this in remembrance of me. That whenever we break this bread, this is what we should be remembering. When we break this bread today, remember this. Why? We are saying, he said, you declare my death until I come again. That means you remind yourself, I died. That death was not for nothing. It was for a purpose. He didn't die in vain. He was not judged in vain. What did that death bring for us? He's not showing us. Hold that person by your side. If you know the name, call him by his or her name. Say, love son David. Read to that person. One, two, go. Go to verse 4. This is the reason. Get me to verse 4, please. Verse 4. One, two, go. Surely. Somebody say, surely. When you hear surely, what comes to your mind? Without any shadow of doubt. This is as sure as God is. You have to say there is no God, or you have to say God is a liar. To everybody, shout surely. Read it to your neighbor. Surely, what happens? He has borne our griefs and carried. Shout it again. He has borne and carried. I'm going to come back here. But I'm going to show you that these griefs and sorrows was talking about infirmities and sicknesses. Before he will even go to the cross, in Matthew chapter 8 verse 17, he began to show forth what he was going to the cross to do. Get to verse 16 so we can connect it to verse 16. When the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon possessed. And he cast out the spirit with a word and healed how many? All who were sick. All who were sick. Look at verse 17 and now read. One to go. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by who? In that Isaiah 53. He himself took our and bore. Did Isaiah prophesy it? When he showed up, he began to heal the sick. But what he was trying to show us is that ultimately, when now he will hang on the cross, that's when he will deal the final blow to sickness. He has borne. Pastor Emma, come. Come this way. You have borne and carried. This is handkerchief. Is in my hands. And I say, you bear it. You carried it. Is it still in my hands? If Christ carried your infirmity when he died and bore your sickness, the one you're claiming, who has it? Where did it come from? The one the devil is convincing you have, that you were born with it. Mirage. It looks like a pool of water. It's not water. It's sorcery. Sorcery. I can never be sick. Does the devil attack people with symptoms? Yes, he does. But you have to stand, because I'm going to show you what the warfare is. You have to stand and remember, Jesus bore my griefs, took my sorrows. He bore my infirmities. He took all of the sicknesses that were supposed to be upon me. So I refuse to bear this one. I refuse to bear this one. I refuse to bear this one. I refuse to. He bore. He himself took my infirmities. He himself bore my sicknesses. So let's get back to Isaiah 53, verse 4, fast. Surely. Somebody say surely. When you take this bread today, that will be blessed as the body of Christ, remember what you're saying. Is that he bore. In his death, he carried every disease. Whatever was placed on your body, on your life, that Jesus didn't place, today we drop. He said, yet we didn't esteem him. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Why people are saying he's stricken? God has judged him. God has afflicted him. See why? Verse 5. Lift your hands. Why was he afflicted? Read, want to go. But he was wounded for our transgressions. So transgressions are your own mistakes and sins. Iniquities are the ones you inherited from the fathers. When somebody tells you it's hereditary, tell him he was bruised for iniquities. When next the payment has been made. I said the payment has been made. To say the payment wasn't made is to say Jesus lied. When next they tell you it's generational, tell them he was bruised for my iniquities. I didn't say my forefathers didn't do it. I didn't say that thing is not running in the family. But me, I am in Christ. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. What's the next thing? The chastisement for mine. You know the word peace is called shalom. It's called shalom.
When there is strife in your family, is there any peace? When there is sickness in your body, is there any peace? When there is no prosperity, is there any peace? The chastisement for my peace. That means my transgression is forgiven. Every iniquity against me is blotted away. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what this blood is. In the blood, and through his blood, we have redemption from every sin, even the forgiveness of sins. It does when you take this. Somebody told me, say, Pastor, I committed sin. I can't take communion. I say, are you foolish? The fact you committed sin is the reason you need the blood. What's the blood for? Washing away the sin. If you could clean yourself, he didn't need to bleed. So you can't clean yourself before you take the blood. The blood is for your cleansing. The blood is for your redemption. The blood is for your perfection. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you can save yourself, he didn't need to die. So we don't save ourselves, and then he accepts us. He died because we couldn't save ourselves. We needed him. Receive his grace. You don't have to earn it. Maybe somebody has told you something different. One more time, lift your hands. Declare that thing. There is no devil of infirmity. There is no devil that has been on your case. Oh, come. Come here. Come. Give your hands. Not one devil that has been on your case can stand. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands and declare it one more time. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, yes, 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 yes. Get out of your bodies. Of their minds, get out of their homes, get out, you foul spirit, you tormenting spirit, you blind spirit. You spirit of strife, get out. Every oppression of witchcraft, in the name of Jesus, I bring it to an end. Let the judgment of God, the fury of God, like fire, be poured against any altar speaking against you now, in the name of Jesus. Healed in your blood. Healed in your organs. Healed in your bones, joints. Healed in your muscles. Healed in your eyes. Healed in your ears. I command every deaf spirit, come out now. Come out of them. Every blind spirit, come out. Every spirit of paralysis, get out of their bodies now. Now wait. Isaiah prophesied it. Matthew wrote about it. But now let's see, after Jesus had now finally died, this one was no longer, he was showing what will happen. He has now finally died, buried, and he was raised from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Fast. Everybody listen.
Where did sickness originate from? Man sinned. Did God create sickness? It was a cause. Lift your hands. Read it and read it out loud. Want to go? Who himself bore our sins in his own body on day three, that we, having died to sins, might now what? Say, when he died, I died with him. When he was buried, I was buried with him. As he was raised from life, as he was raised unto life, I also was raised with him unto righteousness, unto a new life. Stop living to what he died to and start living to what he rose to. We are, if there was a death, there was a resurrection. Read it again. Lift your hands. One, two, go. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin. So how do you live? By whose stripes? Is it you are or you were? Is it you are or you were? Isaiah said you are, but it's already fulfilled. So Peter said you were. When did it happen? When he died. For every stripe. So I want to ask, are you the sick that need to be healed? Are you the healed that the devil is trying to place sickness on? What do you now do with the devil? Resist the devil. You're getting it. So when next the devil tells you you have asthma, say you're a liar. And the father of all liars. I can never have asthma. Jesus bore asthma on that tree. He carried it so I can have it. By whose stripes I was healed. And Jesus is the same. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. The same yesterday, the same today, and the same forevermore. And if I was healed, I am healed, and I stay healed. I stay healed. I will never be sick. Never be sick. That growth won't be on your body. That verdict of the doctor will not be the last. You will not live on drugs. They say it's a sickness of old age. That's a lie. Let me tell you another inheritance. Even in old age, you shall be fresh and flourishing. He will renew your youth like the eagles. That devil is a liar. You will not know the sickness of old age. You will know the blessing of old age. You will know the blessing of old age. In the name of Jesus, refuse to accept any lie from the devil. Somebody say, but pastor, I know another pastor this one happened to. I know a bishop this one happened to. He's a good Christian. I know my brother. He's a good Christian. I said, you know the brother, but you don't know what they believed. You know them. Believe for yourself. It will be done to you according to your faith. Stop adopting other people's experiences and use it to authenticate whether God has told the truth or whether God has lied. Let every man be liar, but God be true. I want you to listen, because I want to finish this. I want you to listen. That Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Give me, because I have just very few minutes. Lift your hands one more time. Let's do it. Giving thanks to the Father, who has to be partakers. You know, I didn't exhaust it, but I've just given you a few. There are plenty. Go and search. Long life is one of them. With long life, I will satisfy you. Why didn't he, with all the needs in Galilee, with all the needs in Jerusalem, with all the needs in Samaria, all the needs all around, he chose to go to the cross at a prime age of 33. Why? He needed that as a sacrifice. He needed to be cut short in his prime so you will enjoy long life. When you take this, don't let any fear enter your heart. That thing the devil is telling you, na lie. I know he has told you that he will kill you at that age. I came here. That's why God brought you here. I told you, he will not end the way he planned. That thing he said is a lie. I'm telling you, with long life, the Lord will satisfy you. You know what long life satisfy means? It means the life will be long, healthy, and prosperous. Because if a life is long and is not healthy, you want to die. Look at verse 13. Follow with me. Verse 13. Go there. Now, hear the word of the Lord. I need you to hear this. Everybody read it, want to go. He has delivered us. He has what? So if you say you need deliverance from the power, what you're saying, he lied here. He said, I have delivered you. You say, please deliver me. What it means, what I said was not true. You are not the one that needs deliverance from the devil. The devil needs deliverance from you. The devil is afraid of you. You just don't know. Nothing shall by any means harm us. Lift your hands and declare it one more time. It's part of your inheritance. Want to go? He has delivered me from the power of and conveyed me. Verse 14. Fast. In whom? My sins are forgiven me. Today, you will return and sin no more. Sin will not have dominion over you anymore. Whatever you've been helpless at, whatever you've been weak at, whatever has trapped you into an addiction and destruction, today releases your hand. Your soul is delivered from the snare of the fowler. I decree your soul has escaped. You are no longer helpless. You're living here full of power and strength. Walk out of that thing is a choice. Okay. So having said this, what is now the fight? Since he has finished fighting, let me tell you what the fight is. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. That's the fight. Get the communion ready. Those of you watching online, get your communion elements ready. Chapter 6, verse 12. Now hold that neighbor. Tell him this is the fight. Say, never forget it. Say, don't waste your time fighting with a defeated foe. This is the fight. No, go let devil give you assignment. Say, spend your fasting worshiping God. Spend your fasting feeding on God's word. Spend your fasting praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up your spirit, man. Energizing yourself. Say, spend your fasting praying for others. Say, when it comes to dealing with devil, you know, the past 5 minutes. All that all night, binding and casting, is the proof the devil used to know you don't know. And that's why since you started doing it, it has been from one battle to another. All those going from one place to another, one place to another, looking for deliverance, that's the thing the devil used to know, you didn't know. It don't give you work. Check it. It's one stops, another one starts. Your life has been from one battle after another. Fight, fight, fight. But the fight we are supposed to fight is not the way you think I'm on. The Bible calls it good fight. So hold that neighbor and read it to that neighbor. One, two, go. How many of you gave your life to Christ? You've given your life to Christ. How many of you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Say after me. Say, I believe in my heart. Raise those hands everywhere. Say, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he became flesh, suffered, died on the cross, bled for me. And through his blood and his death, I was forgiven. I was redeemed. I believe that because of that, my sins are forgiven me. And I receive that redemption, that forgiveness of sins. I believe that he was buried. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead unto a new life, that I and all who believe may receive that new life. Today I confess that I receive that new life. I am now born again. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, justified by my faith in him. I'm no longer in my sins. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. I have passed from death unto life. I have the Son, and therefore I have eternal life. That very life of Christ is the life within me. So I confess, and all the days of my life, I am my household, I am my children, and my children's children, and my whole household. We confess Jesus Christ is Lord. See what he's telling you. You just said it. You say you believe it. There'll be a time something will come to disprove it. When it comes to proving it, fight the good fight of faith. What is the fight? The devil tells you, you are not born again. You are a sinner. You just lied. You tell him, listen, I made a mistake. Yes, I am humble before the Lord. And I have asked for forgiveness. I have repented. I have received forgiveness. I am not a sinner because I made a mistake. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What are you doing at that moment? I'm maintaining my ground that God says who I am. He who knew no sin became sin, that I might become his righteousness in Christ. So I'm maintaining my ground of righteousness, even though the devil is trying to accuse me because of my mistake. When symptoms come on your body and the devil tells you, you have this, you have that, what do you do? Fight the good fight of faith. Say, I can never be sick. I can never have that. He took my infirmities. He carried my diseases. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was laid upon him. By whose stripes I was healed. And therefore I am healed. In the name of Jesus, I can never, not on my body, begin to declare I'm the healed of the Lord. And what's the faith? As you have believed, confess. And as you confess, act. Refuse pity. Refuse pity. Instead of pity party, start a praise party. If you're looking for pity, you're sick. If you're praising, you're healed. Choose one. When they bring a report and say, this one, and that report contradicts your inheritance, tell the devil you're a liar. How many of you have seen the verdict? And nothing shall by any means hurt you. If a native doctor comes to you and says somebody came to meet him, that he wants to kill you, give me money. Look, the native doctor said, the reason God will spare your life is because he wants me to preach to you. Sit down. Do you know Jesus Christ? Start preaching. When you're through, you say, if you don't, if you live here, I can't tell you when, but if you enter my case, he contends with those who contends with me. Tell him, or say, it's a righteous thing that God will visit with tribulations those who want to trouble me. Avoid me. And tell him, by the way, go and try your worst. Nothing shall buy. And when you say it, sometimes you will notice some fear. Fear can attack your head and faith will still be in your heart. So when that fear attacks you, tell that fear, you spirit of fear, not in my life. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. So I cast you out. I bind you. I refuse to fear. I fear no evil. What are you doing? You're fighting the good fight. Are you fighting devil? No. The devil is terrified of you. He's under your feet. You don't fight devil. You cast him out. You bind him and you cast him out. You don't fight him. One more. And then I'll give you this. One more. One more. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. Lift your hands and declare it, one, two, go. What is the victory? What is the victory? What's the devil after? Your body or your faith? What is he after? Your money or your faith? Your business or your faith? Anything he's doing is nonsense. If your faith is intact, you will come back with a bigger testimony. All things we know work together for the good of those who love God and of the higher. I have a word for you. That challenge you're facing, from that challenge is coming forth now your greatest testimony. That trial you're facing, that thing that's been so painful, that pressure you've been under, I prophesy in the name of Jesus, your greatest promotion yet is coming up from it. Receive your lifting. Receive your promotion. Jesus will be glorified. Sunday, I'll tell you one of the things that God uses to get these things work well. Anytime you see the devil trying to walk over time. Come on, let me show you. Pastor Victor, come. Fast. This young man started from here. God has a due season for everything. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. 11, he makes all things beautiful. Do not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, if you don't faint, everybody has a due season. And every stage of your life has a due season. You are praying. You are walking. You are strategizing. You are networking. You are doing everything. You are giving. You are confessing. You are working harder than everybody else. And God says, this is your due season at this moment. This is where your miracle is going to come. Now, keep walking and coming. Watch where the miracle is. That is due season. When you're closest to it, the devil is alarmed. No baby was killed among the Hebrews until Moses was born. The devil is at ease until a deliverer is about to come. When you see the devil as if every hell is breaking loose, you're closest to your next break. You're closest to your due season. So see what he does. You will get news from home. You will get different things. All these things is so you would turn. After a while, you say, where is God? He just wants you to move this way. And you know, when people are under pressure, they start seeking other kind of help. Some will now go to one place. A young man, I can't say that. That things I can't say. People were so close to their miracles before they consulted demonic orders. And from that day, it got worse. They gave them relief. So they think, oh, it worked. Oh, that's why I like this kind of thing. They took you somewhere. It worked. After a few months, what now started happening? Since then, it's now worse than it was. But you didn't know. You were close. When the battle is fiercest, is when your miracle is closest. Who got it? Lift your hands. From this day I pray, like Jesus prayed for Peter, may your faith not fail. May you be strengthened in faith until the day of your recompense. And I prophesy over you, the Lord is your portion in the land of the living. Therefore, your portion will not be frustration. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus Christ that your faith, your praying, your service, your hard work, your efforts will not be vain. You will surely reap, and I now comfort your due season now. Every harvest has been long delayed. Every harvest has been long overdue. In the name of Jesus, I command you, spring forth now. You will hear news. I say you will hear news. Somebody before Sunday, you will leap for joy. You will shout. You will shout. The Lord will amaze you. The Lord will amaze you. The Lord will amaze you. before we give our offering and our blessings, I just want someone. I'm telling you, there's something happening here. I just want someone. You're going to give him a victory dance. He's never lost a battle. Are you hearing me? He's the ruler of all. He's the Almighty God. And you're going to praise him with understanding and by revelation. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Is my victory dance door to Jehovah? He has never lost a battle.
Is in you, Lord Jesus Christ. Not for material things, but for eternal things. Material things are chara. Our faith is in you. Thank you, Father. and for every need as we give today. And you demonstrate your faith in your giving. I decree and declare, the Lord my God, the one who provides, shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 006-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.